Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mindshift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
It all started on the day before Thanksgiving, the one day of the year that you really just need everything in your kitchen to work. My dishwasher finished its cycle, and I pulled open the door. Inside, I found two racks of filthy dishes, like worse than when I'd put them in originally, and 6 inches of really gross standing water in the bottom of the machine. I spent some time troubleshooting, but no luck. The dishwasher just wouldn't drain or even really respond to any of the buttons I was frantically trying to mash. We had to put in a call to our landlord. A few days later, after a lavish Thanksgiving meal where we hand-washed every single pot, pan, dish, glass, and fork, a service person came out, only to deem this dishwasher, which was only a few years old, gone for good, beyond repair, off to the landfill. Now, this is an unfortunate story on its own, but what really grinds my gears is that this is the third dishwasher we've had since we started renting our place 8 years ago. Why can't these things be repaired? Today on Bay Curious, we want to share an episode from our sister podcast, The Bay, all about a new law that will go into effect in California this year that should help make it more possible to fix our stuff. Plus, we'll take a trip to a fix-it clinic in Redwood City, where a growing right-to-repair movement is up and running. I'm Olivia Allen Price. Oh, and stick around at the end of the episode for an upcoming event all about fixing something else, your clothes.
Support for Bay Curious comes from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, committed to brewing things the right way since 1980, because when you're a family-run brewery, there's no other way to do it. Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, still family-owned, operated, and argued over. And be sure to stay tuned through the end of the show so you can play our monthly trivia game for a chance to win some cool prizes.
Hey, it's Avery Truffleman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
I'm handing this one over to Erica Cruz Guevara, host of The Bay podcast, and reporter Azul Dahlstrom Ekman, who kicks things off with a trip to the peninsula.
So I went to a fix-it clinic at the Redwood City Library. Walking in there, I mean, it's this really kind of fun environment. It's a little bit chaotic, but it's very high energy.
Fix, 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 hooray, ready?
Okay.
Fix, 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 hooray!
There's about a dozen and a half tables there, and they've got all sorts of appliances, electronics, vacuums, fans, air purifiers, and they're sort of splayed open, and there's a fix-it coach, which is essentially a volunteer, alongside people who have brought these items in, and they're got their sleeves rolled up, and they're digging in, and they're trying to diagnose and fix whatever's wrong with the thing. Fix-It clinics are sort of these pop-up events. They're facilitated by volunteers. And these volunteers are basically handy people who are down to spend a Saturday morning helping people fix their things. And the kind of people that are coming in are just everyday people, and they have something, an appliance, an electronic, that they really like, but it's broken. Fix-It coaches are basically standing over your shoulder and telling you what to do, and then the person who brings in the item is performing the repair mostly themselves. So it's really much more of an educational opportunity than just sort of a repair service.
You mentioned this is primarily run by volunteers. Who exactly is running these clinics?
So Peter Mui started a Fix-It clinic back in 2009.
It's incumbent on us at this point in the planet to keep all of our durable goods in service, in place, as long as possible.
Since then, it's grown immensely. And now this year, Fix-It Clinic has partnered with the San Mateo County Office of Sustainability to bring a Fix-It Clinic to a different San Mateo County library every month this year.
And so is this your job?
No, this is a passion. No, Fix-It Clinic is a hobby of mine that's gotten way out of control.
Well, I know you talked with some folks there who were there to get their stuff fixed. Can you tell me about Nancy Harris?
Everyone say hi to Nancy and her bullet blender.
Yeah, so Nancy Harris lives in Moss Beach, which is about 25 miles away. It's on the coast. And she brought in this magic bullet blender.
Something, and I'm so tired of buying a new one. I would love to fix this.
All right, let's see. I've worked on one of the bigger ones.
This was actually the fourth magic bullet blender that she's owned. As she walked in, she was matched with this volunteer named Alex Schmidt.
He wants to...
Let's take a look at it.
Yeah, okay.
And Alex Schmidt lives in the county, works in software, says he likes to tinker.
There was one of these that the tabs may have broken off.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like they may be jammed.
Oh.
Nancy basically described the problem. When she plugs it in, the motor of the blender just starts whirring immediately, and she can't get it to turn off.
When you've got it plugged in, it's supposed to not immediately start, but start when you put the top on and screw it, and you're ready to go. This is.
Alex says, "Okay, well, let's take a look." And within a few minutes, really, he diagnoses the problem.
So now the question is, will it spin the way that you're having the issue with?
Yes.
And it will. Okay. You mentioned it leaks.
Yes.
So whatever leaked in there has sort of gummed up these plastic elements that depress the switch on the bottom to the point that they got stuck on the lower end.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was always on.
All of the gunk, all of the smoothie and coffee and all the things that Nancy Harris has blended over the past few years has sort of seeped down into this switch that activates the motor. So it was actually diagnosed really quickly and simply.
And that would do it for you, but the big thing is cleaning. And I'm guessing we have some Q-tips and some alcohol that we can...
Okay. And it's
did she get it fixed?
Yeah, so it took her and Alex Schmidt about an hour to fix the blender, and it did end up getting fixed. Basically, it just needed to be cleaned. They really just went in there with cotton swabs and rubbing alcohol and sort of freed up all the sticky stuff that was making the motor stuck in the on position. They even found like a small family of bugs living in the motor.
Ew.
So there's all these little discoveries that they make along the way.
Well, what happened when Nancy and Alex got the magic bullet working again?
As Nancy Harris walked out with her fixed working magic bullet blender, volunteers took the magic bullet blender, held it aloft, and yelled, you know, "Magic bullet blender fixed!"
Fixed! Woo!
Nancy Harris... She said she was overjoyed.
We fixed something that had been broken and driving me crazy for at least a year and a half. It just saved me a lot of time and energy, and I learned how to fix it myself.
You know, you could really see this, like, sort of contagious look of excitement and happiness that's kind of shared by the whole room when, you know, something gets fixed.
That saves you, what, $100, $200 every couple of years when this happens again. I'm really, really, really happy about it. And I feel very empowered.
It does, for some reason, also feel like a thing of the past, like this idea that we, as consumers, can fix things ourselves. Like, I mean, I'm just thinking also about my partner's laptop, which he's been trying to get fixed for like the past 2 weeks. And at this point, he's like, God, I should just buy a new laptop at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about is what's called a repair monopoly. Basically, a manufacturer will, you know, not make their parts or tools or information necessary to repair their item accessible to consumers, basically forcing people to have to go to them to get their thing repaired. Some companies will use like proprietary screw heads to put their devices together, or they're not designed to be serviced. There's even something called parts pairing with electronics, where parts are paired to the serial number of your, say, computer. And if you put in a different part, it will throw an error code when, you know, you try to turn it back on. And there's also this idea of planned obsolescence, right? Where, you know, companies are basically making things to break because it's more profitable for them to sell you something new as opposed to have you repair it. So, you know, manufacturers make it harder to repair their things, which means that your local shop can't repair them. So then there's, you know, these shops go out of business, and pretty soon the only place you can get the thing repaired is the company that made it. They can charge whatever they want. They can take as long as they want, or they can tell you it's not able to be repaired, even if maybe it is, and force you to buy a new one.
Well, how then, Azul, have people actually tried to combat this disposable culture, this culture of buying new on a larger scale?
Over the past decade, really, and earlier than that as well, we've started to see this rise of what's called the right to repair movement. And basically, in a nutshell, right to repair says, if you bought an item, you have the right to repair it.
And tell me what that has looked like in California.
So we're seeing a lot of people interested at the community level in repairing their own things, but it's actually translated into a movement in state governments to put this kind of legislation on the books. So here in California, last year, there was a law passed, and it's basically a right to repair law. It goes into effect July 1st this year. And so it changed how manufacturers have to make repair accessible, basically, to the public. Right now, consumers in California are protected by this thing called the Song-Beverly Consumer Warranty Act. And basically, that says that if a manufacturer makes an implied or expressed warranty on a product, then they need to make the parts, tools, and information necessary to repair that item available for a certain amount of years after the last model is produced, depending on how much that item costs. This new California law is really moving that forward. So this California law applies to appliances and electronics, and it basically says that if an item costs between $50 and $99.99, then the manufacturer has to make the parts, tools, and information necessary to repair that item available for 3 years after the last production date of the model. If that item is more than $99.99, then the manufacturer needs to make the parts, tools, and information available for 7 years after the last production date. There's a lot of hope in the right to repair movement that with a state like California passing a right to repair law, that it's really going to build momentum in the nationwide right to repair movement. And we're starting to see that this year so far, 24 states are considering right to repair legislation. And that's just at the last count.
So it sounds like this law is really about giving people the tools to fix things themselves. Was there any pushback on this law?
Yeah, I mean,
Right to Repair gets a lot of pushback, and it's mostly from, you know, big electronics companies like Apple. And then you have ag equipment companies like John Deere have historically pushed back against right to repair legislation. Apple lobbied heavily against this law and then came on in support of it at the last second when they saw that it had basically a guaranteed chance of passing, or that it was going to pass.
Coming back to the Fix-It clinic that you went to in Redwood City, I imagine we're going to see more of these kinds of clinics in other cities. It seems like there's already a lot of interest.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. The San Mateo County Office of Sustainability is partnering with the library system there to bring a different Fix-It clinic every month to different libraries in the county. Fix-It clinic also has a presence on the social platform Discord. They have hundreds of members on that platform, and the founder of Fix-It clinic, Peter Mui, actually told me that they have people in Africa or Europe and spread out all throughout the United States.
So we basically, during the pandemic, launched a Global Fixers server on Discord that allowed us to extend repair to anybody on the planet who has an internet connection and can get on Discord.
I spoke with a representative from the San Mateo County Office of Sustainability, and she said that basically their demand is far exceeding capacity. There's a ton of interest in these kinds of events throughout San Mateo County, and as we're seeing sort of throughout the nation and the world at this point.
Why do you think that is?
I think as humans, really, we have this natural inclination to want to fix things. Peter Mui would say that we are repairers at heart.
Because when the thing starts working again, and they're the ones who fixed it, you know, it's like Easter. You know, it's a really wonderful feeling that we don't want to deprive anybody of. You want to empower these people to be able to repair stuff.
Personally, you know, I used to have an old pickup truck, and I actually replaced the clutch on my pickup truck one time. And I went to my mechanic friend and told him about the experience, and he said, you know, that's a feeling you can't buy.
Azul, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
I got freedom to stand, freedom to walk, freedom to love, and freedom to talk.
That was Azul Dahlstrom-Ekman, a reporter for KQED, and Erica Cruz Guevara, host of the podcast The Bay. If you like what you heard, check out more episodes on The Bay's podcast feed. They are an awesome news-focused companion to your Bay Curious listening, a bit like The Daily, but for local news. If this episode got you thinking you'd like to learn more about how to repair your own stuff, we've got an event for you. Next Thursday, March 14th, KQED is hosting a sustainable fashion event. Experts will be on hand who will teach you how to mend the clothes in your closet and style them in new and exciting ways. We'll put a link in our show notes, or you can look for it at kqed.org/live. That episode was produced by Maria Eskinka, Alan Montesilio, and Erica Cruz Guevara. Engineering support from Brendan Willard and Christopher Beale. The rest of the Bay Curious team includes Katrina Schwartz and me, Olivia Allen Price. Additional support from Jen Chien, Katie Springer, Cesar Saldana, Maha Sanad, Holly Kernan, and the whole KQED family. I hope you have a great week.
Hi, Bay Curious listeners. Are you ready to play May's trivia game? Every month, we read a question here at the end of our episode. You can give us your answers over at our website, kqed.org/baycurious, or just click the link in the episode description. Out of the correct answers, we'll randomly choose one lucky winner to receive a cool prize package with Bay Curious swag and Sierra Nevada goodies. Okay, our question for the month is, the world's longest-running pillow-fighting contest was held from 1966 to 2006 in what Bay Area town? Our trivia quiz is made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Good luck!
Hi there, I'm Randa Abdel-Fattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.